May these spoken words be faithful to the written word and lead us to the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It's hard not to feel some sympathy, I think, with Thomas in today's gospel reading, when all the other disciples come and tell him smugly, "We have seen the Lord," as if to say, "What a shame you didn't." It's as if they're bragging about having had an experience that he hasn't had. People often do this, intentionally or unintentionally. It happens a lot these days, especially when people are using social media. It's so common, in fact, that there's even a special term for what its victims experience when it happens. FOMO, fear of missing out. It's as if the disciples had posted on their social media accounts about what a great time they'd been having with Jesus since he'd come back from the dead, and poor Thomas had to read it. Perhaps they might have even taken a few selfies with the risen Christ, just to make him really jealous. And that would be playing into Thomas's FOMO, for sure. Poor Thomas. And so rather than just believe them, perhaps in his proud anger at missing out, Thomas doubts. He says that he needs to also experience it, to believe it. And who can blame him? If we continue with our social media comparison, we know that not everything we read on the internet is true. There is sadly a great deal of fake news being posted on social media these days. And even selfies can be fake. They can be photoshopped. So even if the disciples had been able to take selfies with Jesus, they wouldn't necessarily be enough to convince someone like Thomas. He was not convinced. He wanted the experience for himself, the full experience. "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." Thomas asks, and Jesus gives. The pride, the doubt, they don't seem to worry Jesus. He simply appears again and shows the marks of the nails to Thomas, just as he had requested. And Thomas's reaction to this is in fact the fullest confession of faith to be found anywhere in the Gospels. He calls Jesus my Lord and my God. Thomas the doubter has been transformed by this experience and becomes Thomas the Apostle once again. Not just because Jesus has provided the evidence he asked for, but because Jesus did not give up on him despite his doubts. It seems that Jesus made this special visit purely for Thomas's benefit. But he doesn't leave Thomas without a challenge. "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." But this is not just a challenge for Thomas. John records these words of Jesus in his gospel to challenge us. We who have not seen Jesus in the way that the first disciples did, we are challenged, despite this, to believe. In fact, John concludes his gospel by telling the readers that the testimony of the community written in the gospel is for them what the signs and words of the earthly Jesus were for the first disciples. As the first disciples had seen and believed, so later disciples will hear or indeed read and believe. John Hull, a retired professor, went blind when he was young. And in his book, In the Beginning, There Was Darkness, he looks at the Bible and at Jesus from the perspective of a blind person. For him, the hardest part of the Bible has been the Gospel of John, because throughout that gospel, the story of Jesus is presented in terms of a struggle between light and darkness, with light being identified with goodness and darkness or blindness with sin. Throughout the gospel, that is, until we reach today's reading. And there, as Hull points out, almost at the end of the gospel, the tables are turned. Thomas is portrayed as the quintessential sighted person who insists on seeing for himself before he'll believe anything. And ironically, Thomas came to be seen in later Christian tradition as the patron saint of those who were blind. He's painted by John as being someone who relies absolutely on his ability to see, unable to take anything on trust. And John Hull points out that this is actually one of the greatest weaknesses of sighted people. They rely on appearances, on what they can see. And as a result, they lose the capacity to trust. Being blind, by contrast, requires an ability to take a great deal on trust. And in that context, Jesus' words to Thomas suggest that a special blessing is reserved for those who are blind. Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. So actually, the witness of those who have managed to cling on to the Christian faith when, like John Hull, they've had very good reason to give up on it, is in the end not only an example to the rest of us, it is the surest sign of the truth of the resurrection. On the one hand, we see in our gospel reading the fear and cynicism of Jesus' sighted followers who had seen him many times, had heard first-hand reports of what had happened on Easter morning, and yet they were huddled together in what sounds like the first ecclesiastical committee meeting, with the doors firmly shut against the outside world. The church, confident that it alone has the monopoly of the truth about God, ends up becoming this holy huddle, uninterested in the world outside it. But on the other hand, as Jesus suggested to Thomas, there will come many who will never see what you have seen, who will have to endure terrible suffering, either in spite of or even because of their faith, and yet who will continue to believe in me against all the odds. It is their faith that will change the world, the faith of the ones who have sunk to the depths of depression, who've experienced great pain, huge loss, not unusual or exceptional people. People like you and me, who've experienced all that life has to throw at us, and yet continue to believe. That is the greatest witness. And that is the evidence for the resurrection. Not the confidence of those first disciples who emerged from the safety of their little house just long enough to say to Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." And not in the existence of huge cathedrals or in the certainties of the professionally religious. We've just watched Notre Dame Cathedral burn and seen over 300 people killed in the Easter bombings on churches in Sri Lanka. Yet rather than dent our faith, these events seem to have had rather the opposite effect on many people. They've led to an increase in people seeking to draw close to God this Easter time. Because the evidence for the resurrection is the discovery that when we ourselves become most aware of our blindness and powerlessness in the face of what life will throw at us, we come closer to the presence of God than we had ever been before. Or rather, the presence of God comes closer to us. In the fragile, uncertain, doubtful, yet enduring faith of those people who have not seen and yet have come to believe, God can renew the world. But the question here for us, I think, is in our uncertainty, in our doubts, are we seeking to draw closer to God? Or are we pushing ourselves further away? Are we saying to Jesus, "Come, I want to see you. I want to see the mark of the nails in your hands. I want to touch them and put my hand in your side because I'm struggling and I don't want to do it alone. I want you with me." Come, Lord Jesus. For we have not seen, and yet have come to believe. And through our fragile, uncertain, doubtful, yet enduring faith, God can renew the world. So let us pray that this deep, enduring faith will grow in us, so that the darkest times of our lives can be used to bring God the fullest glory. Amen.